Thank you, Robert. That's good. Amen. Open your Bibles, Ephesians chapter 6. Now, I'm going to tonight's little talk we'll have is not a sermon. It really is a lesson that I share with those that are going to get married. When people are going to get married, I always require to have a premarital session with everybody. And these are the 10 things that I go over. And I'm going to give you tonight an abbreviated version of that. And so we're just going to kind of look at some things. And I'm going to ask some questions that I want you to think about. And the important thing, and when I'm meeting with a couple, I tell them it isn't even important that you tell me the answer. I don't need to know the answer. But it is important that you ask yourself and you answer these questions. And so I want to share those with you in just a moment. These, they in heaven, there was a scene at the end of the age. All the believers were standing in line waiting to get in heaven. And when as they got there, St. Peter appeared before them. He said, I want all the men, he said, to form two lines. He said, those that are the true heads of their households, said, I want you to get in this line. And those of you that were dominated by your wives, I want you to get in this line. And so he said, then turn all the ladies, and I'm going to ask all the ladies if you would exit through this door into the other room. And so when they did, all the women left, and all of the men formed in the line that was dominated by their wives. As a matter of fact, it was just endless. But those that were the true heads of their household, there was just one man standing there. And so St. Peter looked down at him and said, you men ought to be ashamed of yourselves. He said, look at you. He said, you were appointed to be the heads of your household. He said, you were given a responsibility. You've been disobedient. You've not done what you should have done. You've not fulfilled your purpose. And said, there's only one man here in this whole bunch of you that has obeyed, and said, you need to learn from him. So they all looked at him. St. Peter looked over at him and said, now, he said to him, he said, you, sir, said, how did you come to be in this line? He said, my wife told me to. Well, I want you to tonight, we're going to jump right in this. I want to give you 10 things. Number one, the first one is dignity. You know, good marriages are made from good people. Now, you've heard me say that many times. I believe the best marriage counseling is not talking about the issues particularly that you're having difficulties in the marriage. The best counseling is to take the issues in you personally that need to change to be more godly. Because the more like God you are, the better person you are. And the better you become, the better husband, the better father, the better wife and mother that you'll be. And so biblical counseling is just taking naughty issues in our life, taking things about us that are not the way Jesus would be. Confronting those issues with the gospel and then making a commitment in your heart, I'm going to change. I want to be more like Jesus. And so when it comes to dignity, how respectful are you of your spouse? How do you treat your husband? How do you treat your wife? Just how respectful are you? Have you ever been around people that are just so disrespectful to their mates that it makes you uncomfortable? You ever heard people and they'll call their men call their wives the old lady? Have you ever been around people that will sort of have a little fun at their mate's expense? Now, you know, I love humor and my humor gets me in trouble sometimes. But you know, humor should be something that we're equally enjoying. I pick on folks out in the pews, but I picked on the folks that I've learned I can pick on. And if you're not enjoying it, I'm not enjoying it. Nobody else is enjoying it. It needs to be something that is mutually enjoyed. And sometimes husbands and wives can treat each other so disrespectfully in front of other people. They can make them look bad in front of a crowd. They can make them look bad in front of their friends. And sometimes men think that makes them look macho and cool and John Wayne-ish, you the man. It actually makes you look very small. What about dignity? Are you respectful? Do you treat your wife? Do you treat your husband with respect in front of others? Do you, every chance you get, kind of run your man down to the ladies? Are you quick to point out his fallings, the areas that he comes short? And is there not a list that we all have? I mean, everybody here, you know, if you want to go there, it's a pretty easy place to go. There's not a man in this room that does not have big time shortcomings. There's not a woman in this room that does not have shortcomings. And if that's what you want to talk about, if that's what you want to get with your friends over coffee, but just how respectful are you to your mate? Every one of you right now, ask yourself that. Am I? Do I? Really? Do you really? Are you respectful? Number two, have you stopped doing the things that cause pain? We're all still talking about dignity. Things that cause pain. You know, in a marriage relationship, that is the one relationship where we feel we can really open ourselves up, strip away all the veneer. And all of those things that those doors that we've locked around us to protect us, we open them to our mates, don't we? And as a result of that, your husband knows the areas that you're most insecure in. Your wife knows the areas that really you struggle with. Have you stopped doing things that cause pain? Thinking about a couple in a church I pastored years ago. She was very self-conscious of her ears. Her husband knew that. She always wore her hair in a way that covered it because she was self-conscious of it. But every time he wanted to kind of take her down a little notch or get a cheap laugh at her expense, when he'd have the buddies over, he'd call her, he'd holler, "Hey, Dumbo, can you bring us another cup of coffee?" Now, he knew that that crushed her. And his defense in my office, "Oh, she knows I don't mean nothing by that. I mean, she kids me about stuff. Oh, I'm just kidding her." You know, once your mate communicates to you that this hurts, it ought to stop right there. Never, ever, ever, ever be done again. What about you? Is there something that you know about your husband, about your wife, and you know there's a sensitivity there? Have you decided, I'll never go there ever, ever again? I'm never, ever going to touch those insecurities. Not in a fight. Next Sunday night, I'm going to preach on how to have a good fight. Okay? I mean, we all have them. But you know, even the Geneva Convention recognizes there ought to be rules to a fight. So we're going to look at some rules next week, okay? Dignity. Does he or she have first place in your life under God? How do you feel? Does your mate make you feel like that it'd rather be with you than anybody else on earth? Do you feel that way? Or do you feel like, yeah, he comes home to me because we're married, but at the end of the day, he'd rather be with his buddies. He'd rather be out somewhere doing this or that, and He only comes home when there's no other place to go. Does your mate feel that way about you? Is there something in you that's caused her or caused him to feel like you really don't want to be around them all that much? A little bit goes a long way. I love you, dear, but hey, I need my space. Dignity. What have you done that's diminished the dignity? Do you get online and say little things that makes your mate look bad? Do you leave little things and then kind of cover it with a little humor, like it's a joke? Is that how you do it? How do you feel? Does this person in your life, your husband or your wife, do they make you feel like that you are number one to them? Rather be with you than anybody else in this world. You know, good marriages are made from good people. People that love each other. People that are very best friends. And the greatest intimacy comes from where there's the greatest friendship and the greatest respect. Dignity. Do you listen? Do you communicate? One of the three major causes of divorce is communication. We don't talk anymore. When we do talk, there doesn't seem to be attentive. I talk to him. And it goes through one ear and out the other. But he says, yeah, and when I talk to you, it goes through both ears and out your mouth. There's a communication issue, isn't there? You know, it would be well if folks would keep talking after they say, I do. Do you remember how it was when you dated? You couldn't wait to be together. And the communication just flowed. You talked about everything. And just went on for hours and hours and hours. What's happened to you? When did you decide to just turn her down? When did you decide to just no longer be attentive, no longer be interested in what's in her life? We're talking about dignity. You know, the greatest way that you can put somebody down is just ignore them. It's not getting in their face and smarting off to them. It's just marginalizing them to the point that they are insignificant to you. Have you seen couples where here's one's been out working all day and walks in the house and the other mate doesn't even stop what they're doing? Doesn't take the eye. If they're on the computer, they stay in the computer. If they're watching a TV, they stay in the TV, whispers, holler something over the shoulder. Never even stop and acknowledge. I worked in an office one time. We had 22 staff members in our church. 21 of them were always friendly. When I'd walk in the office on Monday mornings, they'd all be gathered out in the foyer, and there'd be 20 over here and two down here. Everyone, hey, preacher, how you doing, preacher? Good to see you this morning, preacher. How's it going, preacher? Except one who would just ignore me. You know, the greatest way that you can show your disrespect, your lack of respect, your uninterest, is just ignore somebody. And by the way, if you want to make our guest feel unimportant to you, it's when people walk into our foyer, you just keep doing what you're doing. Just keep on talking to the one you got. Hey, how hard is it to stop, give a friendly smile, lock eyes with somebody, and acknowledge, I see you, I'm glad you're here? Is that hard to do? But sometimes we become so self-centered, so focused on ourselves. And we carry that into our homes, don't we? How do you think children feel when they come home from a day in school and run into the house and mom's into her computer? She's responding to Facebook. Dignity. How are you doing? Let me ask you a question. How are you doing in that department? I mean, really, really, really. What's your grade? What's your grade? Dignity. Number two is distance. Does your mate feel close to you? Have you ever been with somebody, but the truth is you feel like you're a mile apart? I'm sure there are times in all of our lives when sometimes we're distracted, we've got something on our minds, we get together and we haven't been able to release that, and you can feel that distraction. But just how close do you feel to your husband, to your wife? Is the time that you spend together, is that adequate? Do you feel like your husband is there every moment that he can be? I realize some of you may have jobs that require long hours and there are sacrifices. Some of you may have a second job or a third job, and some of you may be working jobs and going to school at night. I've been there. I know exactly what you're talking about. You try your best to spread it around, and there's just not enough time in the day. But as you look at your mate, do you believe that your mate is doing the very best he can? That she's doing the best she can to spend the amount of time that you need? You know, the Bible teaches us the number one purpose of marriage is, God didn't look down from heaven and say, you know what, there's a kid that needs a mama. That's not why you're here, ladies. Your number one purpose for being here is to take away the loneliness of your man. The number one purpose of marriage is to legitimately combat loneliness. God made us flock creatures. We're sheep. We need to be together. We need relationships in our life. And sometimes because of hurts and pains and experiences from the past, we in order to protect ourselves, we withdraw from others. But how's that working for you? Maybe that's your protective system, but just how happy has it made you? That's never God's way. Are you satisfied with the amount of time that you're spending together, that we're doing the best we can? And then the Bible says a false balance is an abomination. There is also an extreme the other way. There is the problem where couples are not spending enough time together. And I'm convinced that many, many marriage issues are simply coming because they're not spending the time they need to together. I mentioned this morning in one of the services that when I came here to begin this church, I told our young church then that I'm a family preacher. I believe in the home. I can still remember when I was 22 years old, standing behind the pulpit for the first time in my life, feeling like I have arrived. I'm making announcements on a Sunday morning, and I'm reading the bulletin, and for the first time, we are now a full-time church ministry. I'm saying, folks, Monday night, don't forget this. And Tuesday night, remember to do this. Wednesday night, be right back here at church. Thursday night, there's this happening. Friday night, be sure you go there. Saturday morning, we're having a gathering here. Don't forget the prayer meeting Saturday night, and I'll see you Sunday morning in church. Wow. Boy, we are an active church. What a great shepherd I am. I have really led our people to be busy. I'll never forget this. I was in Bowling Green, Kentucky, several months later, preaching a revival, and I got a phone call from my office. Six couples in our church separated in 1 week. Six couples. You see, I believe that you need some home time. I need home time. I can remember my young ministry. I had so winning teams, and I'd take a different team every night. I'd take a Monday night team and a Tuesday night team and a Thursday night team and a Saturday team. My kids were asking, "Mama, who is this that comes home, spanks us and kisses you and leave?" But I'm busy for the Lord, amen. And one day, I woke up to realize I've caused great damage in my marriage. I'm traveling the country preaching on marriage. I've got series of sermons you can get on marriage. I'm a great husband. And my wife was dying because we never spent time together. And I was actually in Orlando. I pastored in Arkansas, but I was in Orlando preaching revival over in the west side of town. And someone gave me a book. And on the way home, I was reading that book, and the first chapter broke my heart. Because it said in that chapter, the number one purpose of marriage is to combat loneliness. And my wife never saw me. And I thought I was a good husband. I remember breaking down, and I don't cry easily. I was taught when I was a little boy, big boys don't cry. Don't ever do that to your kids. I broke down on the plane. I'm boo-hooing. There's a woman across the aisle, and she said, "Is it okay?" Distance. But the other side of that is smothering. Are you smothering your mate? How are you doing in that department? Does it bother you? Do you feel that you can't do anything? Smothered, never a moment? You know, guys need to be able to do guy stuff. And girls need some girl time. Amen. I have never been able to get in touch with my feminine side. My wife says I'm like a bull in a china closet. I need some guy stuff. I got to get into something once in a while. Amen. That's just me. And my wife talks about so much dainty stuff. And she has tried for 47 years to make a girlfriend out of me. Do you smother your mate? She never can get with somebody else, with another girl. He can never spend any time with the guys because you feel threatened. We're talking about distance. How are you doing with distance? What about dominion, dominance? Who's running things? Do you always have to be in control? Do you feel threatened even if your spouse asks you a question? Do you fight over who gets their way? Has it always got to be your way? Do you want to control the finances without any input from your mate? If you're the one that handles the books, if you're the one that writes the checks, and if your mate says, "Dear, how are we doing? Do you explode? Look, do you want to do this?" I mean, if you want it, here it is. But if I'm going to do it, stay out of the business. Is that you? Is that your spirit? Dominance. Does one of you always have to win? Do one of you have to always be in control? Dominance. Do you proceed with plans no matter how much pain it brings to your mate? What would you do if your mate said, "Honey, please don't do this"? What? "Honey, you know that that's something that it's always bothered me. Honey, please don't do that. You don't tell me what to do. You're not my mother. I'm 3 times 21, girl. Listen, you don't be telling me." Boy, you're sharp. You demand dominance. Are you so domineering that your mate has to sort of tiptoe around on eggshells? "Well, I want you to know that I'm cranky every morning before I get my first cup of coffee." You know, if that's true, it's because you choose to be cranky. It's because you feel entitled to be cranky. Dominance. What about diversity? Are you trying to make your spouse into something that he or she is not? Do you literally expect a whole personality makeover? I worked with a family years ago, and she married this man that was kind of quiet turned. He's a great guy. Everybody respected him. Everybody liked him. She would be the first to say he was a great Christian. But there were about 4 couples that got together often. They bowled together. They went out to eat together. And the other 3 men were just more outgoing than he was. They were always joking, pulling jokes, saying stuff, doing things. And he was just sort of quietly smiling and nodding and affirming and joining in a very quiet way. And his wife said, "Dear, why can't you be a little more like the other guys? Sometimes, honey, your quietness, when we're with other couples, sometimes you're just like wallpaper on the wall." You're actually funny when you want to be. And I wish you'd just kind of, you know, live it up a little bit. Kind of take charge a little bit. I asked her, "Was he that way when you dated him? Was he a take charge, outgoing person?" "Oh, no." I said, "Was he quiet like this when you..." "Yes." "What drew you to him?" "Oh, his sensitivity. He's so sensitive. He's a preacher. He's a great listener." Are you trying to change the personality of your husband? Of your wife? I mean, all of us can improve. All of us can grow. It's true that as the longer a couple is married, the more they start kind of affecting one another, we even start looking alike. I'd be careful, ladies, who you marry. But if you're expecting a complete personality change, that's unfair. God gave you the husband and the wife that you've got. And you need to celebrate who they are, because there's not another one like him or her in the whole wide world. diversity. Do you expect people, your mate, to always like what you like, do what you do, because you feel insecure to find out they don't? I know a couple that were married 13 years, and she found out she was a great cook, but she was very sensitive about her cooking. He learned that early on. And so whatever she fixed was wonderful. It was great. Now, his mother was also a great cook, but he learned that his new wife was sensitive about mama's boy and all of the foods that mama fixed. She was so insecure that he had to pretend to like every dish she made. After 13 years of marriage, it came out. One of her favorite dishes that she just knew he loved, and she fixed it for him all the time, he honestly could not stand it. Did not like it, never did like it. And she felt betrayed. Do you have to pretend to like the same color, the same food, the same restaurant? Or can you celebrate the fact that the two of you are different? God made you different. And you each bring something special to the relationship. Diversity. What about disclosure? Are you totally honest with each other? Are you hiding something? Is there something in your past that you've never shared? Something that's going to one day come out? Or do you have some plans and you're not telling them right now? I know of a young couple that got married. She made clear to him that when they got married that she wanted to live in a certain community. She wanted to be a part of a certain church. I think that's wonderful. I love it. Absolutely. I'd love to be there. That was great. Only to find out that he and his father had made a little deal. Marry the girl. She's a good Baptist. And she's been taught to submit and be in subjection to her husband. Marry her. Don't tell her. But when you're married to her, then let her know that you want to be a part of your dad's business. And she'll have no choice but move with you. Disclosure. How many people get married only to find out that there's a whole other side of this person's life that you never felt led to divulge? Brother Reggie called me one day and said, "Preacher," said, "my nephew's getting married." And said, "I wonder, would you consider marrying them?" And I said, "Well, Reg, I have to have a meeting with them first." He said, "All right," said, "let me talk to them." He called me back and said, "They said they'd love to meet with you." So we set up a time and we met, and we asked them all the questions that met the criteria. And so we said, "All right, now we have to go through these 10 areas. They said, "No problem." I began asking questions. I got to about where I am now, and it dawned on me, I don't believe they've ever talked. I'd ask a question, one of them would answer it one way, and the other one would go. And I'm reading the body language. And so I stopped about midway, and I said, "Look, the wedding was scheduled, I think, in about 7-8 weeks away. I said, I think you guys need to talk. I said, I'm going to step out of my office and just leave you guys here. And y'all talk for a little while. Let me know when you're ready and I'll come back in and we'll resume." About 20 minutes later, the door opened. They come out and they said, "Preacher," said, "is it all right we get with you later?" I said, "Sure." They walked out. Marriage is off. They never talked. Reg called me after I was here at Starlight. Same guy getting married again. He said, "Hey, Brother Riggs, said, you remember my nephew? He told me, yeah." He said, "They're getting married." I said, "Oh." He said, "Yeah." I asked him. I said, "You want to meet with Brother Riggs for a pre-marriage counseling?" He said, "No way." Disclosure. How honest are you? Are you struggling emotionally? Have you spent 6 years in a mental institute, but you haven't felt led to discuss that? Is your spouse hurting you, but you're keeping it inside? You've never told him. This hurts. Never told her. Please don't do that. Disclosure. What about duties? Do you have unreal expectations about your spouse? Here's this guy that's a hardworking fella. Likes to get down into the dirt and roll up his arms and likes jobs that's hands-on. And you've had visions in your mind of just how your marriage is going to be. You're going to live in $1 million home. You're going to have a husband that pays all the bills, but he's never away. He's always home. Do you have unreal expectations? Do you feel like, boy, I'm going to marry this gal, and I mean, man, she's going to meet me every day with a beautiful skirt on, high heels, hair looks like she just walked out of a beauty shop. Every day when I come home, she's going to meet me and pucker up at the door and tell me, "Come on in, honey." And that's what my life's going to be like: moonlight and roses. Are there unreal expectations?
Next number.
Duties. Are you happy with who's going to do what? Is the wife going to work outside the home? If so, when you come home, are you going to help with the housework, or is that her job? I was raised in a culture where the guys, they worked in the dirt, they worked outside. We were farmers and worked long hours. But buddy, when you cross that threshold, you are home free. Never seen my dad wash a dish. Never seen him fold a towel. Never seen him fluff a pillow. When he walked into the house, pull his shoes off, the king has arrived. Is that you? Do you expect your wife to work 8 hours a day, but when you come home, she's going to put the meal together while you watch the football game? She's going to then clean up and wash the dishes when it's all through. She's going to take care of all the other things and get the kids done and bathed and get them to bed. And all of that while you are relaxing because you've had a hard day. Duties. How are you in that department? Are you self-centered, conceited, and think you're the only one that ever has a job? Only one that ever has any pressure. Only one that ever has any responsibilities. Duties. Are you satisfied with who's doing what? What about domain? Do you respect each other's boundaries? Are you considerate of each other's stuff? Had a man call me one night and said, "Preacher, I've got to meet with you. I've got to meet with you now. I'm going to kill my wife." He said, "Please, I've got to meet with you." So I met him here at the office. He came in. He said, "You don't understand what my wife did." He said, I can never forgive her. And I thought, of course, my mind went immediately, "Oh no, did she meet somebody at work?" No, it's not like that. He had been a race driver before they married. Quite successful at it. He had a bunch of trophies that he had won. And when they met each other and got married, she moved in to his bachelor pad, and that became their home. Now, after a few months of being in there in the house, sitting there in the living room, surrounded by his achievements, one day she said to him very lovingly, "Honey, I was kind of thinking of something that's a little more us for decoration in here. I'd like to kind of redecorate." "Okay, I think that'd be nice. Dear, do you think maybe there might be some other place that we could put your trophies besides here in the family space in the living room?" He said, "You don't like..." She said, "Well, honey, it looks great for a guy, but I'd kind of like to put a little feminine touch to it." By the way, let me give you a little hint, fellas. Women are nest builders. You will be a lot smarter and things will go a lot better if you'll let her do the scratching around and you just stay out of it. He said to her, okay. I said, "That's all right." I said, "We could just move them into our bedroom." She said, "Well, honey, that wasn't exactly what I had in mind. What about the spare room? What about if we put them in there?" Well, he didn't like that idea as well as being in the living room, or at least in the bedroom. But he said, "Okay, all right, we can make them where it looks nice." And she said, "We'll get a display case. It'll look good." Well, that went great for a few months until one day she came home from the doctor, and guess what? She's pregnant. Now, don't get ahead of me in this story. Wait on me, all right? Wait on me. She says to him, "Honey, now that there's a baby coming, we're going to need to make a nursery." And she said, "I was thinking of these colors." And she said, I thought maybe we might do this and put this over here and put this over here. "And honey, we're going to need to move your trophies." "Well, where did you have in mind?" And she said, "Well, right now, until we maybe get a bigger place, I thought maybe we might could box them and put them in the garage." She said, "Honey, I don't know where else to put them. I know they mean a lot, but..." So she did. 1 year after they'd been there about 2 years, she was doing spring cleaning. Yeah. She called a thrift store. They came and loaded up all his trophies. He said, "Preacher, I'm going to kill her dead." How respectful are you of his stuff, her stuff? My wife collects dolls. She likes the old vintage hard plastic dolls, 50s. And she's got dolls. She's got a cabinet full of dolls, and she's got dolls here and dolls there, and that's her stuff. And I got deer stands, buck lure. And we've had to come to an agreement on our stuff. I've had to realize that she's got stuff that I need to respect. I don't understand why it's here. See it contributing nothing. At least my stuff is taking care of the family. It's feeding our household. at great personal sacrifice, I might add, of my time and energy. Getting up before daylight, braving the elements, just to make sure that my family is well fed. That's what my stuff does. Yeah, she didn't buy it either. Domain. Are you satisfied in your house with what is yours, what is mine, and what is ours? Domain. How about debt? Do you argue a lot over money? One of the three major causes of divorce. I said one was communication. Another is finances. Do you quarrel about how the money is spent? Who is the bill payer in your household? Do you decide together how to spend? Do you have a budget? Do you work from a budget? Do you have a plan? Are you responsible in the use of your funds? Are you transparent in your spending? Does your mate feel secure? In our household, I've always been the bill payer. I'm the secretary. I pay the bills. Sometimes my wife will say, "Honey, how are we doing?" Here's what she's asking. Is everything paid? Are we okay? Sometimes you say, "Could you mind telling me where we're at on things?" "Well, honey, we got this much here, and we got this much, and this is what we got." It's a very easy thing to do. Doesn't take long to tell what we got. Does your mate absolutely hate to ask you about finances? We had a couple in a church in Arkansas, and he was a fellow hunter and a scuba diver. I used to scuba dive a lot, and he said, "Preacher, I'd like to go with you." And boy, he went with me, and man, he took to that like a hog on ice. I mean, man, he liked it. All of my scuba gear I bought at a pawn shop, but man, he went down to the sports goods store, bought the best of everything. He had everything there was. Two of most of it. Now, his wife had a better job than he, made more money than he did. But she had to beg him just to buy a gospel tape. Like a little girl. She'd have to ask him for permission. And he just loved to make her sweat. I don't know. I'll have to think about it. Is that the way you do your mate? Let me encourage you to do this. Give each other some mad money. Here's what I encourage young couples to do. Give each other an allowance. No questions asked. Every paycheck that I get, a part of that goes into our savings. We pay our bills, give our tithes, our offerings, and then there is an allowance. And it's maybe $5 a week, maybe $50, whatever your budget allows. But you give each other an allowance. My wife has a weekly allowance. I got a weekly allowance. What that means is I can spend that on anything I want. Now, you would not believe how much discussion that eliminates. My wife has never seen a pair of shoes she didn't like. "Honey, what do you think of these shoes?" "Dear, do you really think you need another pair of shoes?" "Oh, no, I don't say that. Thank it." But I've smartened up over the years. And I can go to the Bass Pro Shop. I love that. That's guy's revenge. Boy, I like to go to the Bass Pro Shop. You know what? You go in there, and I love to watch the women. I mean, when you go to the Bass Pro Shop, the men are in there like this and the women are just enduring it. They're walking along behind her husbands. And I heard one of them say to her husband, "Honey, don't you already have one of those? Why do you need two?" Give each other an allowance. That means that whatever is in my allowance, I can spend it all on hunting stuff. And she doesn't have a word to say about it. And she can get all the girly stuff she wants with hers, and I don't have anything to say about it. I do feel a little bit discriminated against. We go to the thrift stores. Have you looked at how much stuff there is in there for women? And us guys, we kind of get left a little sly there, don't you think? She spends her money, I spend mine. Now, if it's not in our budget, and if she wants to spend all of hers every week, and if I want to save mine and get something big, like a deer rifle, that's okay. But if it's going to mean that we've got to spend our money, that requires a discussion. What do you think, honey? Do you think we should do this or not? How do you handle debt in your household? Are you quarreling over the money? Are you in the blame game? It's your fault we're in this mess. What about discipline? Some of the most intense arguments in blended families is over disciplining of the children. And oftentimes, even outside of families, maybe you were raised in a home where your father was very stern. Maybe you were raised in a home where you vowed that you would never, ever touch your child. And your mate believes that there are some things that you can only correct with spanking. Is that settled before you get married? I ask every couple in my office, let's get this settled right now. Do you believe in corporal punishment? Do you? How do you think? Yes, we do. How do you think spanking should be administered? What do? We're not talking about hitting in the face, are we? Not talking about kicking in the seat of the pants? How do you handle your discipline? Do you discipline? Have you seen families where there's the good guy, bad guy approach? One of the mates stays above the fray. Boy, your mama sees you're going to be in trouble. Mama's the wicked witch in the household. Daddy, on the other hand, discipline. Have you talked about that? If you've been married before and there's children, what about the new mate? Is the new mate going to be allowed to be the man in the house? Or is that off limits? You don't touch my child. And the child learns real young how to play that card. I cannot tell you the number of homes that have suffered and wound up in divorce because the kids were able to play that game against each other, and one of the mates was restricted from being a disciplinarian in the house. How are you going to handle discipline? Has that even come up in the conversation? Will there be discipline? What type of discipline? And what about this? Are you going to allow the kids to plea bargain for a better deal? I mean, if you kids come and they ask you, "Mama, can I do this? Is it okay if they go to Dad to see if they get a better answer?" "Daddy, can we go over to our friend's house?" Have you talked to your mama? What did your mama say? What did your mama say? She said no. There ought to be a no-no in your household. Don't you ever, ever, ever approach me when your mom's already given you the answer. No plea bargaining. You don't work the mates against each other. Discipline. How is that? Is that an issue in your home tonight? Are you quarreling, disagreeing over how the kids are handling, how the kids, what's going on in your kids, what's taking place with that? Lastly is devotion. How much quality time do you spend together? Do you date regularly without the kids? Or have you gotten past that? I believe it's very important for there to be regular dates between a husband and wife. Regular dates without the kids. Or we do everything as a family. Yeah, I know. I'm going to tell you what's going to happen to you. You have literally invested your life in those kids. They are number one. Not your husband, not your wife. It's the kids. And one day they're going to graduate high school and leave your household, and you're going to look across the table at a stranger because you let the fires go out a long time ago. I love our children with all of my heart, but I have an obligation to their mama that I don't have to any other human being on this planet. And she has an obligation to their dad that she has to no one else. In our case, we try every Friday night to have a date. I mean, we come home, clean up, put on some smelly sauce. When we were younger, we would get a babysitter. If we couldn't afford one, we'd trade out. Hey, we'll watch your kids Thursday night. Could you watch ours Friday night? We'll help you take care of your heathens and you can watch our angels. Seems like a fair exchange to me. Devotion. What about the time? What about this? Do you still get together? Do you still verbalize your feet? Do you still say those magic words, I love you? Or has that become corny in your household? Strange, uncomfortable words. Do you express your love and admiration verbally? Do you say to your mate, honey, that's a great job. You're so good at that. Do you let each other know how special you are? Do you remind yourself of what it was that attracted you to him, that thing that you admired so much about her? Do you say it? Oh, he knows how I feel about it. Yeah, I know. That's the problem. Every man needs to know that he's respected in his home. And every woman needs to know she's appreciated in hers. I want you to bow your head tonight, heads bowed and eyes closed. Are you honestly seeking to meet each other's needs? Now, a study like tonight, even if we grade on a curve, everybody's got some red marks on your paper. Can you humble yourself enough to go home and say, hey, boy, he touched on some stuff tonight that hit me right in the face. Not, I hope you were listening. Boy, there were some things the preacher just literally called your name. Honey, I was embarrassed for you. Can you own tonight Can you go out of here and take ownership of those areas that need to change in your life and in your marriage? We're going to stand in a moment. Maybe tonight you'd just like to come and say, "Dear God, I want to be a better husband and I want to be a better wife. And I want our home to be a little more like heaven. And I want to do something." When I say stand, would you come gather in the altar, talk to God about it. Go home tonight and do your homework. Let's get started. Are you ready? Let's stand. Would you?